Hello and welcome to another episode of Scare Traducing, the horror movie podcast for horror movie virgins. I'm Callum McNabb.
Yo soy Gisela Martinez.
And we are here with our last episode of 2022, if I get it uploaded today. We're recording it on Hogmanay, New Year's Eve, the 31st of December. And hopefully I can get it edited and uploaded today because it's nearly the afternoon. It's morning still, but very nearly afternoon. We're not partying until later, so we've got a few hours to... So I'll try and get it up, because we haven't had an episode up in a few weeks. We completely missed our episode on Violent Night. We just didn't do it at all.
Oh, yeah. And just if you're curious, it's not that good.
I didn't think it was that good.
The idea is great. The idea is there. It wasn't just executed as it should have.
I agree with that. Yeah. Some people love it. It just didn't tick the boxes for us. But I love the idea, would happily see a second one if they made one, but just, you know, be a bit, go a bit further with the...
Yeah, and the main actor is great.
Oh, David Harbour, Santa, fantastic.
Yeah, I love him, and I love his vibe. Maybe not too much on the background story.
That's what I mean, I didn't need the why Santa is a badass backstory, I didn't need it. Like, I'm willing to believe Santa's a badass.
I know, I mean, and I'm kind of sad because this movie is still in the cinemas for the holiday season. Like, you know,
so,
like...
I see some people are loving it, though.
No, I'm glad. It's just, when people say, like, oh, yeah, there was a horror movie there. Like, it wasn't that great. I know, it wasn't. But there's been other movies, like Krampus. Oh, my God, Krampus. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Krampus. Krampus.
That's 2014.
It's a great movie. And I seriously can't remember being in the cinema, but...
We did watch it in the cinema.
Yeah, but I don't remember if it lasted or what. Like, but I just loved it. And yeah,
this is the first year since Krampus came out, I believe, that we didn't watch Krampus.
I know.
We didn't watch it this year.
Oh, well.
Save it for next year.
And also, this is the first year I didn't watch Harry Potter.
You didn't watch Harry Potter?
I normally do every Christmas,
The only Christmas movies I watched this year was the 2006 version of Black Christmas.
Not even the original, I watched that.
And then I went to the cinema and I saw Eyes Wide Shut. That was it. Didn't watch Elf, didn't watch Home Alone, didn't watch It's a Wonderful Life, didn't watch Watch Out, which we normally watch.
But we did listen to a lot of Christmas playlists. And this house was all the time washing dishes. There was like cleaning the flat. There was like Santa. So music, it was there.
Christmas music, but not Christmas movies.
Yeah, movies,
not this year.
We weren't that good. A Christmas TV show, no.
Didn't watch the Father Ted Christmas special.
We did? Oh no. My God, we did. Such a bad
Christmas. We had a terrible Christmas.
Terrible Christmas. I mean, we got so many gifts and stuff, but terrible Christmas.
Anyway, we are here to finally do an episode that, as I say, we didn't do the Violent Night episode, but I did also say I was going to do my top 10 horror films of the year, a celebration, a ranking of them. And I said to Zella, look, try and come up with a list of 10. If you want help, I'll maybe give you a help or whatever. And then last night, I said to her, look, I've got an idea, because Hizela will explain, for some reason, cannot rank things.
Mm-mm. I don't have, how would you say, I don't know where to start. I don't know what
to... You start wherever you want. It's subjective.
No, because maybe, why, I don't know your list.
Yeah.
What are the filters that you put there? I don't know where's your,
Which one did I think was a better movie? For me, which one would I watch again?
Yeah, but there's so many movies that I thought I was really good, but I didn't my experience in the cinema.
Yep.
I watch it here and I prefer maybe better seeing it in the cinema, or I really like it, but there was this aspect about the movie. I didn't like the music or that.
Okay.
Is there a perfect film for me? No, because I always feel... It's so hard for me to find that. I'm so bad for this.
What I would say to you, and I've said this to you before, I think you're overthinking.
Yes, I do.
It's just whatever 10 films you want to put on your list. You could even put films that you don't think are the best. You just want to talk about them. You just think, I think these films need a bit more. Whatever it is, it's subjective. It's up to you.
Oh, well, overthinking is one of my hobbies. No. Yes, I can't do this.
So anyway, I have my list of 10. I'm going to go through my list of 10, why they're on there. And Hizella is going to basically inform us whether or not she agrees with it being on the 10. Can she understand why it's on the 10? Would it be on her top movies of the year? I mean, I'm not even going to give you a list of 10 or 5 or whatever, but can you see why I've put it on there? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Right? And out of the 10, there are only 2 you haven't seen. Okay. So you've seen 8 of them.
Okay.
Before I get to it, I want to just point out a few things. 1, Pearl is not on the list because Pearl has not been released in the UK yet.
Yeah.
It comes out in March next year. Also, my stomach just rumbled and I don't hope that it's not on the recording. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Right. So, Pearl, people in the UK have seen it through...
streamings?
What do you call it? VPNs, but it's video on demand, so you have to pay for it. It's not like on, I think it's not like on Shudder or something. It's not like you just change your country. I think you still have to pay for it. We decided against that. We decided against piracy. We are going to wait for the cinema release, which is March 2023. 2, Skinamarink is not on the list because Skinamarink has not come out in the UK yet. And I believe it's actually not come out in the US like on a general wide release yet. It's January, I think, and then it goes to Shudder. It comes to January here, but the only cinema so far is one in London and one in Birmingham, and we are in neither of those cities, so I'm going to fingers cross and wait and hope that it comes to a cinema in Glasgow, even Edinburgh. I would travel to Edinburgh for it. Please just come, because that is still one of my favourite trailers of the year. We could have pirated that. Again, not going to pirate it. Small movie, needs the support, looks great, want the big screen experience, so fingers crossed for that. So Skinamarink, not on the list, because we haven't seen it, it's not out yet. A couple of movies that we still haven't seen, so that aren't on the list.
Uh-huh.
A Wounded Fawn on Shudder, I hear is very good,
mm-hmm.
Not seen it. Wendell and Wild on Netflix, which is the stop motion Key and Peele movie, not seen it. And Salome, I think that's how you pronounce it, which is on Shudder. I think it's technically a 2021 movie, but it didn't come onto Shudder until 2022, so we wouldn't have been able to see it before then. Heard that's very good, not seen it yet.
Well, these are not on the list. There's a movie I would like to add to that list that okay. we haven't seen, and I'm dying to see it, and we haven't just find the time to do it. The new Pinocchio?
Would you call that a horror movie?
Well, no, but I want to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's other movies I want to watch as well, but they're not horror.
Just like but that one.
I'm just explaining why these are not on the list.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Honourable mentions that didn't make my top 10. Films that are so close but didn't quite make it. You have seen all 3 of these.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3. Orphan First Kill.
Oh, that was so good.
Didn't make my top 10.
Oh.
Very close, but not quite.
Okay, but I really like that movie.
So did I.
Oh, because we knew the twist and we're like, okay... Again, she's gonna go and trick another family or whatever. And I was like, oh!
New twist.
Hold my beer. No, this is so different. I was like, what?
New twist.
Oh, love it.
Number 2, Prey. The new Predator movie.
Nah.
I thought you liked it.
Yeah, but I fall asleep, I remember.
Oh, really? We watched it super late, though. Do you remember that?
Yes, because I fall asleep. I do remember falling asleep. And then I woke up and then... Yeah, I just remember Forrest.
Okay. And number 1 that didn't quite make my top 10, but is very, very close. It got kicked off yesterday.
Oh.
We watched a movie yesterday that did make my top 10, and this kicked this off. The Black Phone.
Oh, I did like that movie.
So did I. It was in my top 10 until yesterday.
Yeah, it's like... Stephen King. Yeah, like if I...
But it's not Stephen King.
I know. It's but his if I need to describe it Joe with Hill. One word, it will be, oh, the Stephen Kingish. Yeah, that one.
That's 2 words.
Well, Stephen, then the little thing.
Hyphen. So you're hyphenating his hyphen name, even though it's not a hyphen.
Well, whatever, bye.
And then finally, before we get to the top 10, I want to point out one disappointment. And that's because it ties into why some of the films...
Well, that you were expecting a lot and then nothing.
Yes.
Okay.
Alex Garland's Men.
Oh, yeah.
I had such high hopes for that movie. And I love Alex Garland. I love his career. He's Ella Knows. I love Annihilation. Bang on about it all the time. Sadly, Men just didn't do it for me. I think Buckley is amazing. She's amazing.
And the whole environment feeling... that you feel like, oh, you're in this like small village in England and like everything's so green, everything is like colorful, but like a nice movie, it's there. It's just like whatever it's around it, it's just fucking shit.
It's
like the main plot.
Right.
It's no like, ugh.
So the reason I wanted to include that is because there was a Guardian article at the time when it came out called, the headline was, "Scarily Obvious, Why the Horror Genre Needs to Drop Clumsy Metaphors," right?
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew Holness, from Garth Marenghi fame,
I'm Garth Marenghi,
who directed the horror film Possum, he retweeted this article back in May of this year or something like that. And he tweeted it, and this is what his tweet said. It said, "It would be great to drop clumsy metaphors and make something truly horrific, but currently almost impossible to get financed for that kind of horror film. Terror must be, quote, explained and justified morally, before it gets bankrolled. Safe horror sells." So what he's sort of saying is the idea that, like, if you have the monster as a representation for this thing, grief, trauma, or patriarchal abuse or whatever, if, you know, the monster exists as a metaphor,
mm-hmm.
and therefore it's more of a intellectual exercise than an emotional one. Like, it's kind of safe, as it gets people like sort of scratching their chins going, yes, I agree, whatever.
Yeah.
Rather than being like truly terrified.
Yeah.
In the concept of men, I agree with him. Some of those metaphor-based horrors I love, I've said this before, I love The Babadook, I love Hereditary, I love some of these movies. It Follows, love it. But I agree with men, it kind of felt like a tipping of the balance, as in, like, people are sick of this now, and they want horror to be more fun,
mm-hmm.
more gory, more crazy, or just genuinely more nasty and uncomfortable. Don't make it any political point. The first movie I'm going to talk about does have a political point, but if you're going to make that point, make the fucking movie nasty.
Yeah.
I don't want it to look great and have, oh, you could get an Academy.
Go for it. Basically, go for it.
Just fucking go for it. And I agree with him to some extent, which is why number 10 on this list is a movie.
Well, wait. I wanted to add something on the... I mean, I don't have a list, so I don't have anything. But
okay.
I would like to add something, at least. I don't know if it is in your list, but it will be in mine. That movies that wouldn't make it, or like, I would expect... Oh, I was hoping for a lot,
yeah.
And then it didn't.
Okay.
And this is only because of you starting, putting it in my head, oh, I read, it's actually really good. And I was like, what? But the trailer, and I was like, yeah, it looks a little bit silly there, they ruin it there. And I'm like, no, but I read that it's actually really good. And my expectations were so high, it was a Smile. I don't know if it made your...
Smile did not make my top 10.
But I remember being like, oh my God, like, people's talking about this.
People were talking about it.
And then I went to that, and I was like, what? I think the first...
The first half of the movie is better than the second half.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, and then I was like, oh, I'm bored. Like,
yes.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
I agree with you. Smile is not in my top 10. I've seen it in a few people's top 10.
Mm.
People seem to really dig it. Great. I mean, if there's horror films pleasing people, love that. Bring it on.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, I agree. I thought the trailer looked a bit meh. And then I started seeing reviews, people saying, like, this is actually really good. And we're like, wow, what the fuck? This movie is getting praised. Let's go. We went, and it didn't live up to the hype for me. So it's not in my top 10. So finally getting into the top 10. Number 10 mm-hmm. is a movie that, as I said, it is a movie that I think is what Matthew Holness is talking about. It's not safe horror. It is mean, nasty, gnarly. And there's some mean and nasty, gnarly films in my top 10. I tweeted this yesterday. My top 10 sort of divvies between feel-bad horror
mm-hmm.
and popcorn horror. Like, I don't know what the vibe of 2022 was. It's like, do you want a good, fun time where you're just going to be, like, covering your eyes and, like, laughing?
Yeah.
Or do you want to come away going... I think I need to be cleansed.
Okay.
Like, I feel so... Ugh.
Yeah.
Number one is one of the latter, one of the ugh films. Okay. It is soft
and quiet. Yeah.
Quiet.
I am really, really happy that we are finally doing this. Today, I just want us to introduce ourselves, you know, get to know each other. There's no agenda. that needs to be accomplished. I'm a teacher down at the school, and
so we watched this yesterday. This has been on my list for a few weeks. Like, I need to catch up on it. I need to get around to it. And I don't want to say too much because I feel like not a lot of people have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say that I saw a few tweets saying black critics or people of color critics are not big on this film and they think it's offensive or whatever, but a lot of white people are putting it in their top tens. I am a white person. It's in my top 10. I'm falling into that stereotype. So, if people find this offensive, but I think that's kind of this movie is really fucking nasty and vile and offensive. It is not a feel good, fun time. It is 90 minutes of just sheer despair, essentially.
We finished a movie and I was like, I think I was in shock. It's really hard to digest this movie. And I was like, I kind of want to tell my friends to watch it.
This is what I was going to get to.
And then I'm like, how can I recommend this movie? Because it's not a nice movie. I'm going to tell you, like, it's a difficult one because it's just like, did I like this movie? Obviously, no, because I don't like this. But did I enjoy it? No, I didn't enjoy it. I feel anxiety watching this.
Yeah.
It feels too close to home.
Okay.
And I was like, oh.
Too close to reality.
Yes. And I was like, oh. I was like, I was nervous all the time because I didn't know what was about to happen. Okay. What was the next word? What was the next horrible thing that will happen or will be said? And oh, it was hard. It's just hard to, digest this movie.
So I should say it's directed by Beth De Arujo. So a female director. And she is not white, so I should just say, just for anyone out there that thinks that this is some weird, only whites can like this. I've seen a few people say that. I need to read more reviews about it. As I say, I only got round to it last night. Gisela did, for some reason, recommend this to, Gisela's Mexican, for anyone who's never listened to before, recommended this to two of her Mexican friends, who don't really like horror, which baffled me that why you would recommend this.
But again, look, when I recommend I send a trailer, I did say, this is the name of the movie. And then my friend said, oh, I read about it. What is this? Not a drama. And I was like,
it's not a drama.
Hold on. And I went to Wikipedia and I went to read the plot. It doesn't say anything.
Exactly.
It doesn't say, and I was like, oh, she doesn't know.
Yeah. Well, it says, I'm reading the plot now. It says some one thing that I'm not going to say on the podcast because I don't know, like, this is in my top 10. For anyone who's not seen it, I'm not going to spoil it, but...
Because it's a shock.
I would say be wary before going in. Like, if you're not big on horror, and as I say, if you're not big on nasty horror, like
When we say nasty, it's not like blood, okay?
No, it's not gory.
Yeah.
It's a little bit gory. Like, towards the end, it gets a little bit of violence.
Yeah, but
a lot of violence, nasty. Some of it's off camera and stuff.
It's not like fluids or like...
It's not body horror.
Yeah, like... it's just... this is another level.
You're going to spend 90 minutes with the worst people. That's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. It's set, it's sort of a single afternoon, one shot sort of type movie, which I'm sort of divvying back and forth on, like, did it need that gimmick? Did it not? I don't really know. Anyway, we knew nothing about this movie going in. All we'd seen was the trailer and heard people sort of hyping about it. The trailer kind of made it look like a bit of a cultish vibe. We weren't really sure.
Witches, yeah.
What the hell is this? And put it on, and within, what is it?
15
5
minutes.
Five minutes? No, when the cake reveal, the pie.
Probably 15 it's or not 10 15. Minutes. Yes.
Because she's at the school, she walks to the party, boom. I'd say it's 5, 6, 7 minutes in.
Okay, whatever.
Either way, it's very early on. There is a reveal of a pie. Now you're going to think, oh, what was in the pie? It's not what was in the pie.
It's not like Midsummer Hares.
Yeah, it's not anything like that. And as soon as that pie was revealed to camera, I think I said to you, that's one of my favorite horror moments.
I think I might just dropped it.
I was just like, holy fuck. That's what movie we're in for? Because immediately I'm like, right, I now know what this movie is. And it's not positive in any way. It is dark. Mm-hmm. And it is going to hit the fan. And it does. There are 5 seconds at the end I'm not sure about.
I did like that.
Does that undercut the reality of what you're saying?
What I like about that is because it gave me hope.
Right.
Kind of like hope. Like, as me watching that movie, probably, not for you white people, but for me, it's like, okay, there's hope. And we can fuck this up. You know, like,
I get you, but to me that kind of undercut the message of how dangerous some of these people are, that, as you said, they're like, I just thought it was going to end 5 seconds earlier, and then it carries on, and then you're just boom, and you're like, oh, that changes slightly what happens
next. No, I just feel like it's like the whole movie, you can compare it with like dirty water, and at the end you have like a drop of soap. And I was like, ugh, it's not going to clean everything.
Yeah.
But it's okay. There's excess. That's a drop of soap. Yeah. That's how I felt. So,
anyway. So Soft and Quiet is in my top 10. It is
number
10. Minutes,
it's number 10.
Number 10. 90 minutes of what is basically a 70s sort of exploitation movie. And it's really fucking gnarly. So be warned if you haven't seen it. If you really didn't like it, I'd love to know why. I can understand why, but I'd like to know more specific reasons. The two friends that Izella recommended it to, I think one of them watched the trailer, one of them said nothing.
Yeah.
And I doubt they're ever going to watch it.
Yeah.
I don't know why, out of the 10 movies, because you've recommended none of the rest of these 10. But anyway, that's it. Number 10, Soft and Quiet.
Oh, probably with one.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll get to it when we get to it. Number 9. Pretty early on in the year, a movie I was so excited for. We covered it on the podcast, and it just made me feel, this is what I mean, like, going from gnarly to just warm and gooey inside. Scream!
There's certain rules to surviving. Believe me, I know. They always come back. The killer is a part of something in the past. This one just feels different.
You're all in danger.
Bob?
Where?
Sydney.
Okay.
Scream 2022, Scream 5, Five Cream, Scream 5, whatever you want to call it. For years, I have been, one, a huge fan of the Scream franchise. Two, really, really loved Scream 4 and wanted a sequel to Scream 4. 3. Then it got announced, didn't make enough money, we're not doing it. Instead, we're going to move to Netflix. I watched the first 2 seasons of the TV show. I enjoyed it. I didn't watch season 3. I think my stomach rumbled again. I didn't watch season 3, but it was set with different characters, and I heard it was bad. But all the time, I was just like, I want Scream 5. I want there to be a new Scream movie. Then, 2 things happen. One.
Oh my god, Callum loves ranking stuff.
Wes Craven dies. So he's directed all 4 Scream movies up to this point. He's a horror icon. He dies. It's probably not going to happen without Wes Craven. 2, obviously it was a Weinstein production. And obviously the Me Too Harvey Weinstein scandal. And you're thinking, man, they own the rights to Scream. What the fuck? Nobody's ever going to want to work with this again. That's it. Scream 5, dead and buried. It's not going to happen. Then all of a sudden, somehow, the guys who did Ready or Not, Matt Bettelini-Olpin and Tyler Gillett, I don't know how you pronounce it, they come on board. I really like Ready or Not. Horror comedy. Scream is a horror comedy. That's the kind of vibe it needs. And they're going to bring it back for a 2022 audience. They're going to talk about how new horror films have all just got the same title as the original. They're all retcons, but they're not. They're kind of sequels. What do they call it in the film? Requels?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Halloween and Halloween 2018. Candyman and Candyman 2021 or whatever it was. Child's Play. And then, well, that was a remake called Child's Play. The Exorcist that comes out next year, I think, is just going to be called The Exorcist. Like, that's the new thing. So this Scream movie, it's called Scream. And it's about fandom and how fandom is dealing with these sort of legacies and these legacy characters and what they want from the movie. Like, do they want surprise or do they want to just have nostalgia? And I think that's ripe for satire. And I was into it from start to finish. Like, it's currently my third favourite Scream movie. It's very close to Scream 4. You know, it could jump to fourth place. But I love all of them, so...
Okay, fair enough.
I love the new cast. Melissa Barrera got shat on by most of the fans. People really don't like her, but I like her in the movie.
Jen Ortega
is ultimately the best. Love her. You know that, right? She's the new Scream Queen of the era with...
Wednesday
and a movie I will be talking about in a minute. I love Scream 2022. And I cannot wait. After fucking... There was so big a gap between Scream 3 and 4. And then after Scream 4, it felt like it was dead. And there was a big gap between Scream 4 and 5. Guess what's happening next year, guys? Scream 6. It's year on year now. What a hit.
Okay.
Fucking 10 out of 10. Well, maybe not 10 out of 10. But yes, this is what I wanted from a Scream movie. My hands are punching the air. Of course it's got to be on my top 10.
Fair enough.
That's all you got to say? Fair enough.
I'm not a big fan of Scream. I remember watching it and liking it, and that's all. Yeah.
Okay. There we go. End of that. So that's my number 9. My number 8. Okay, Zella surely will have more to say about this film, because this is a movie we talked about on the podcast as well, and you liked, and I think you actually liked more than me, because I liked it as well. It is... with another Scream Queen of the era. It's The Menu. Of course it's The Menu.
I love The Menu. Love the movie.
Is that going to fit everyone?
Yeah, easily. 12 customers total.
How do they turn a profit?
$12.50 a head, that's how.
What, are we eating a Rolex?
It's one of his classics.
You have to try the mouthfeel of the Mignonette.
Please don't say mouthfeel.
Tonight will be madness.
Welcome. We'll endeavor to make your evening as pleasant as possible.
Love. If I could have a rank, that would be in my... not in my top something, but it would be my 3 favorite movies. Horror movies of the year.
Yeah?
Yeah, The Menu, definitely.
Well, it's my number 8.
Oh, okay.
It is... I mean, I really like it. It's number 8, but I feel like more people like it more than me. Like,
I think
a lot of people,
it.
Like you, like you're saying, yeah. I'd be my 3, and I'm putting it 8. Like, you're like, But I really like this movie. It's a dark comedy horror film.
About food and Anya Taylor-Joy. What else can you ask for?
And the one thing that annoys me about this, the one thing.
They have Lord Voldemort, so.
Is that it's been nominated for Golden Globes. It's been nominated for, well, she's been nominated, Anya Taylor-Joy, and Ralph Fiennes, who is the head chef. He's been nominated, I believe. The one person I think deserves a nomination and didn't get nominated is Hong Chau. She's excellent in that movie. She's easily the most fun in that movie. I still think about the, those are tortillas. That's one of my favourite jokes of the year. How can you not nominate her?
She's really good.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is a satire on performance art and... arrogance and
be happy
criticism.
That there was nominations, you know, because normally there's not.
Yeah, but I mean, for the Golden Globes are not.
Still, there's nominations.
Are we going to get any of the Oscars? No.
Yeah, probably not, but...
not that no, I'm like one of these horror fans that's like, we need to be nominated at the Oscars. Like, I like the Oscars for what they are. I know what brand they sit in, and I know that horror is sort of, usually, not always, but most of the time, separate from that. So I'm not that bothered, like, would I like Toni Collette to have had an Oscar nomination for Hereditary? Yes. Did it bug me? Not really. So I feel the same about these films on this top 10.
But no, The Menu is great. Yeah, I will agree that probably. I mean, I don't know the other films, but it will be one of my favourite movies of the year.
Yeah, just it's very, very, in my opinion, very, very similar to Scream. Black comedy, social satire, done as a horror film. And where Scream is using the trappings of a slasher, The Menu is using the trappings of, like, I don't know, like a date movie, kind of. It's so good. I love The Menu. I don't really have much else to say. Go and listen to our episode on it. Okay, number 7, we get to the first movie that Hizela has not seen on my list, so she cannot judge. It is Speak No Evil.
I want a toast to Italy, of course. To the food, of course. And to love.
Salute. Dear Louise, Björn and Agnes, how are you? We were just talking the other day how nice it was spending time with you this summer. We would love to invite you to come to visit us.
Yeah, you made it! Sorry for the mess. It's gonna get much worse. Come on!
So this is Callum and his monologue.
Okay, Speak No Evil is basically going back to the vibe of Soft and Quiet. It is a feel-bad movie. We did not cover it on the podcast because Hizella did not watch it. It is, how do I put this, tense and uncomfortable. It is glorious to watch because I agree with the point it's making. I agree with the idea of, like, you know, how far should we trust our guts in these situations? How far should we, at the expense of appearing rude and unkind when the other person is saying, like, look, I'm just doing this for you. Like, but you know that, or you think you know, that there's red flags underneath and there's ulterior motives, but how can you be sure? You feel it in your gut, but are you misreading signs? Is it just a class of cultures? That's the thing that it does excellently, is that the two couples that are together in the film, they are, one I think is Danish and one is Dutch, so they're from different cultures, so maybe it's just miscommunications here and there, and you're just watching it play out, and it's so awkward, and you're just like screaming at people, get out. It's like one of those horror films where you're screaming at the family, get out now, even though it's not like, you know, someone's running at you with an axe. It's just much more subtle than that. But it just makes you feel like you want to take a shower. It makes you feel gross because you're just like, you know something's wrong. And you can see that they know something's wrong, but they don't want to do anything about it. And it's just, I love the idea of, like, how far do you subdue that part of yourself in order to, I don't want to appear rude. I don't want them to think of me as a bad person. I want them to think that, hey, I'm willing for a joke here and there. I'm willing for, like, a night out. I'm willing for a good time. You know, how do you balance those two things? I don't know if I've seen a movie do it as well as Speak No Evil in quite a long time. Spurless, for some reason, the Dutch film The Vanishing from the late 80s keeps coming to mind as, you know, like, sort of trying to balance the idea of how do you know how far you can go, whether it's ultimate good and ultimate evil. Like, how do you know how you can tip those scales without tipping those scales? At which point, have you gone too far? How do you go back from that? And then there's another character. How do you reconcile your own curiosity with knowing that it's not going to end well, but curiosity killed the cat? All those things tied up in a nice little fucking horror film that's like, what, 2 hours maximum? And just makes you want to take a shower afterwards. How can it not be in the top 10? Like, how can't it be? And it gets really fucking, like, again, I said to Zella last night after we watched Soft and Quiet, she said, oh, if people are tweeting, like, Soft and Quiet and Speak No Evil, they're the feel-bad movies of the year. And I said, look, I'll happily watch Speak No Evil if you want to watch it.
No, it was too much after that one. Like, not because it's
like, oh, I'm going to enjoy this. Like, it's really tense, but I think it's a better movie. So no, if you enjoy Speak No Evil, like, or not enjoy, enjoy is the wrong word, but like if you thought that and you're recommending it to people, there's another one that's doing that, not quite with the same villains or the same targets, but it's doing that thing and it's doing it ever so slightly better. So that's why it's higher up in the list. But if you like Speak No Evil, I think you might like Soft and Quiet. Okay. And I feel like more people have seen Speak No Evil, so that's why they're both on the list. Mm-hmm. Speak No Evil was number 7.
Number 8.
No, number 6. We're counting down, Hizella.
Delete this.
Number 6 is a movie that we both saw. I don't think you're going to have much to say about it because I don't think you're going to remember anything about it at all. And people in America are going to be screaming, why is that on the list? That's 2021. Actually, it came out in January 2022 here. So it's 2022 for the UK.
Okay, cool.
It is not Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, but Guillermo del Toro's...
Ali something.
Nightmare Alley, correct.
Step right up and behold one of the unexplained mysteries of the universe. Is he man or beast? This creature has been examined by the foremost scientists and pronounced unequivocally a man. I am prepared to offer you folks one last chance to witness this supreme oddity.
We covered it on the podcast. It might have even been our first episode of the year.
Okay, I did like it. I do remember liking it.
Yeah.
Again, yes, probably I don't remember a lot of it.
Because we haven't watched it since. That's the one thing that sort of, like, I would have maybe had this slightly higher on my list, or maybe slightly lower. I'm not sure. I need a rewatch, because every single one in the films that's on this list, recently, I saw after. Uh-huh. And the one that I've seen, the closest I've seen in time to that was Scream.
Uh-huh.
But I've seen Scream twice.
Yeah.
So Nightmare Alley, I've only seen once. So I was like, I can't kick it off. If I think it should be there, my mind is telling me it should be there, I'm going to put it there.
Yeah.
I might rewatch it and then tell people, like, actually.
Nightmare Alley already was nominated for stuff, right?
It was the Oscars last year.
Yeah, okay. Well.
As I say, it came out in 2021.
Yeah,
in the
okay,
US.
Fair enough. Can't remember a lot. I do remember liking it. I remember coming out, I was like, wow, okay, wow.
It's not my favorite Guillermo del Toro, but I do like
because
this.
Because we haven't seen Pinocchio.
We haven't seen Pinocchio yet, but before Pinocchio. I do like the sort of Hollywood era he's in. I know people go, I love Pan's Labyrinth. I'm not going to deny that I love Pan's Labyrinth. Of course I do.
What about The Shape of Water?
That's the one that I'm a bit, eh. But I love Pacific Rim. Crimson Peak is my favourite of his movies.
Oh, I like that one.
So I love this sort of gothic-y era Hollywood
golden
big style that he's in.
Yeah.
Now, Pan's Labyrinth is not that, but I think so that's what I mean. That's what people were like, do you prefer his Spanish era films or do you prefer his English? I'm sort of mixed between the both, but I'm not anti the English language, which some people are, as I say. Some people are like, oh, after Pan's Labyrinth, it's been nothing great since then, or it's been a bit of a downward step. Whereas I'm like, have you seen Crimson Peak? It's easily his best.
Hmm.
Not including Pinocchio, because I haven't seen it. Nightmare Alley was right up there for me. I remember just watching it in the cinema, and I was like, I could have watched that for 5 hours. Like, it looks glorious. Cooper is excellent.
Kate
Defoe
Blanchett
is excellent.
Oh.
Kate Blanchett is fucking tremendous.
Yes, if I remember something about this movie, it's her.
Rooney Mara in the white dress with the blood. Like, it just images that are just like, I'm just
I get
how
images.
How can I forget that?
Like, yes.
How can you forget that? It is glorious to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I love a Guillermo del Toro big 3-hour epic where it's just like huge on the screen and it looks glorious and it sounds loud and the performances are massive and it's Hollywood and it's carnivals and it's all that stuff.
Yeah.
I could watch it for hours. It has to make my list. So for anyone in the US, obviously it's not going to be on your list because it's not from 2022. But it is for us. So it's got to be on my list. So I'm pretty sure that's the one that most people will have seen from my list because Guillermo del Toro's a big name, big stars. So Nightmare Alley, number 6.
Number 5.
A film that I've already spoken about very briefly because we haven't seen the sequel. Well, we haven't seen the prequel because the prequel didn't come out here. It's X.
Farmer's daughter, take one. I need to be famous, Wayne. All the best people are.
There ain't nobody else out there like you.
You know why?
Why?
Because you got that X factor.
Our days of struggling may soon be over.
Hollywood, here we come.
So this is it. Our own studio backlot.
I'm looking for a place to stay.
Oh, yes, sir.
That's one ugly son of a bitch.
Oh, I really like that movie.
It's the best slasher of the year. We had Scream this year. We had Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I wasn't that big a fan of. Terrifier 2, haven't seen, so can't judge. Pearl, haven't seen, can't judge. It's X. How could it not be X? It is a movie that is a straight slasher, essentially, but playing with ideas of sexuality, beauty, and all that stuff. and throwing it together, and Ty West doing his sort of nostalgia hit of 70s slasher gory movies, and doing it with some of the most exciting stars working today, including Jenna Ortega mm-hmm. and Mia Goth. How can you... it's so good. It riffs on Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It riffs on... I can't even remember what it riffs on. I remember I wrote a review about this for the Wii review back in early in the year, and I would just be like, this movie's just playing with the hits. It's playing with all these 70s movies that people love and are just like, oh, I remember that. I remember that. And it's a bit of a nostalgia fest, but also it's turning it into this weird, grimy thing where it's like, but what is porn? What is gore? What is beauty? Blah, 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 blah. These are all highfalutin ideas. I'm probably rambling now. Like, I've probably got onto my rambling phase. I just remember hearing that Ty West had made two films back to back, and I couldn't be more excited for Peril after it. Like, that's how much I was like, this movie's... how could I not be excited to see Peril? Because this movie is perfect. And it set up another one, and actually set up a third one as well. And then for the rest of the year, just Googling Peril UK release date. Peril UK release date. And then it was like March 2023. Fuck
finally,
that.
Yeah.
So far away.
Oh yeah, this movie, I mean, you got me on rural USA creepy old people. Ugh, already like can't sleep.
Do you remember the sex scene?
Oh, yeah. Like,
10 out of 10, great.
Yeah, I can't. So, yeah. Good. Top 5?
That is number 5.
Yeah.
Talking about rural USA, number 4. Another movie we talked about on the podcast.
Oh, rural USA.
Any guesses?
Just go for it.
Bones and All.
But you can't spend the night?
Not all night.
So where'd you move here from anyway?
Eastern Shore. Try that.
Dad!
You didn't. When the cops get here, you have to be good and gone.
I can't help you anymore.
I know it's not your fault. You were born this way.
You ate them. I believed you had to. I don't know why.
Oh, but this one is beautiful. Like, this one, like, X is like, no, avoid the rural USA.
Avoid the rural USA.
And with Bones and All, I was like, oh,
Drive through the rural USA.
I want to do a road trip. That's all. Like, I was like, please, I need more of this movie. I just want to sit here and take it all. I can feel, I feel warm. I hear the crickets. I hear the... the air, warm air. Love this movie. Love. It's a vibe.
It's a vibe. It's a road vibe movie. Done with cannibals in love.
Oh, and it's such a love, nice love story.
Such a nice love story.
And also you have Timothée Chalamet. Like,
Timothée Chalamet, I said in my podcast, in our podcast, sorry, episode, has never looked hotter.
Yes.
I get it. Look, I mean, I kind of got it before. Like, I like Timothée Chalamet. I have no problem with him. I like... what's the movies he's done? Call Me By Your Name. I love Little Women. I get the Chalamet thing. I get it. But it's never quite done it for me. Then I saw Bones and All and I was like, oh my days. That guy is attractive. And Taylor Russell. Oof. What a star.
Yeah, she's going to be big.
And of course, how could we not talk about it? Not nominated for an Oscar. The nominations haven't come out yet. But the shortlist have, which means we've now got 15 to pick from, not including the 15, the best song of the year.
I still surprised it's not.
You Made It Feel Like Home by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, who did the score for this movie, and that's an original song, and it's my number one. I said it in our episode, give it a nomination at the Oscars. We know Lady Gaga's winning for Top Gun. That's fine.
Just play live.
We know that Rihanna's going to be in there for Wakanda Forever. We know we want the pop stars in there. Can we kick one of the pop stars out? Yes. We can kick Taylor Swift out. Oh, I love Taylor Swift.
But that's
Carolina,
song.
No. Go away. Cheerio. Bye-bye. Not one of your best, Tay-Tay.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not in the 15, so it can't be in the 5. How it's not in the 15, I do not know.
I don't know.
It's the best song of the year.
I mean, it has the best note that hits your heart.
It's such a vibe. It's so lovely.
Oh, well, good. Number 4.
Great,
I like that.
Four.
Yes. Oh,
okay, number 3. the final movie in my top 10 that Hizela has not seen. The other one of the two. Resurrection.
Abby, if you're watching this, it means that something went wrong. I'm sorry, I couldn't tell you. I thought that I could make it all okay. But I was unlucky in what happened.
Okay, monologue.
So Resurrection, people might say it's more of a psychological thriller, but it deals with gaslighting, it deals with abuse, it has a little bit of body horror at the end, and it has arguably the greatest monologue in movies this year by Rebecca Hall, who has sort of carved out this weird niche for herself where it's like, oh, she'll just pop up as a side player in sort of big movies. But then when she's the lead, there are this really weird, dark horror films like The Nighthouse from last year and then Resurrection from this year. I feel like there's another. Oh, there was the one that she played the newscaster. I haven't seen it. Christine, the news broadcaster that killed herself live on air or whatever. So Rebecca Hall apparently doesn't even like horror films, but is carved out this weird niche as a leading, the perfect leading woman for these dark, disturbing horror dramas. And Resurrection might be my favourite that I've seen her in so far. She gives, I think it's like 7 or 8 minutes, a monologue in this movie where she explains what the story is, basically what the trauma that she's felt is. And it's just exposition. It's just telling the camera, basically, this is the story. You see none of it. And it is such a wild story that I'm watching it going, wait, am I meant to believe this? Is this her recollection of the events? But it's so wild that is she suffering with some delusion or something? Like what is going on? Like, that can't possibly be what the plot is. That can't possibly be what it is. That's insane. And then Tim Roth, who turns up as the creepy ex-boyfriend, and Tim Roth is always great. He seems to confirm these details very subtly, and you're just watching this movie going, this movie is wild. It's reserved and quiet up until towards the end of a woman just suffering a breakdown, which is not nice to watch. Again, fits more into the feel-bad era of the year, but it deals with stuff that is so insane that it almost feels like a weird B-movie plot from like the 80s, where you're just like, why would anyone put that on camera? Like, what are you talking about? And it somehow gels those two things into what I think is the third best horror film of the year. If you haven't seen Resurrection, watch it just for Rebecca Hall, I'd say, and Tim Roth, but watch it for that monologue. And when you're watching that monologue, find yourself, really? Does that hit you emotionally? Like, can you believe it? And then if you can't believe it in the context of the story, is that part of the movie? Like, I don't know. The movie's about gaslighting. Is it gaslighting me as an audience member? I don't know. I would love Hizela to watch this.
Okay.
I would absolutely love to get to that monologue and then just turn and watch it and be like, what do you think about what you're being told right now? Because it's insane. It's wild. Like, what do you think it could be right now? Any thoughts about what you think somebody could reveal about their past? In a quite reserved movie about a woman just having a breakdown. Like, it's not...
I was a nurse and I used to kill the babies that were born.
It's not that, but you're not as far off as you think you are.
Or killing old people. You know, like the gentle nurse.
We haven't seen that.
No.
The good doctor?
No, I'm talking about like a serial killer back in the 40s that used to kill old people. Oh, no, I'm not that gentle because she used to claim the, the pensions. But anyway, yeah.
So Resurrection is, again, quite an underseen movie. Needs a bit more love. if you like Rebecca Hall and Tim Roth, you're going to get great performance from both. If you're not that big into horror films, it's not like a jumpy, scary, blah, 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 blah. It's much more of a reserved psychological drama. You could deal with it, but you are going to be hit with the wildest exposition you're going to hear this year. It's insane. Love it. Number 3, Resurrection. Then we get to number 2, and this is where I'm going to throw my guess out. You said that there was another film you had recommended this year to people.
That will be on my... Yes, it's this one, probably. Or the next one.
But it's going to be one of these two, so I'm going to have to guess. I think it's number 2, mm-hmm. which is Barbarian.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah?
This is 476 Barbary, right?
Yeah, I'm renting this place.
No, I booked it a month ago.
Are you sure you have the right place?
Yeah. What am I supposed to do?
Why don't you come inside and we'll call these idiots. Why don't you just crash here?
Oh, no.
I don't know if you got a great look at this neighborhood, but I don't think you should be out there by yourself. It's dry and there's a lock on the door.
By the way, I'm Keith.
Tess.
You take the bedroom and I'll sleep out here on the couch.
Nope.
That's a big clue as to what the one day actually is. Barbarian is my number 2. Again, we're going straight from feel bad to wild popcorn, almost gleefully laughing in the cinema at just, what the fuck is this?
Well, and that's the thing, you watch in the cinema, I watch it at home.
You watched it at home.
And I was like, oh my god, like... Again, I think this is one of the movies that the trailer didn't show that much.
How could it? It would give everything away.
Exactly. And I just still remember watching on the couch, blah, blah, blah. First, what's that? Like
20, 30 minutes.
And I was like, pause it. And I was like, I just paused it 30 minutes. What the fuck is going on? My heart was racing. And then... What? Like, I was just... Yeah, insane.
I feel like this is the sort of breakout horror film of the year.
Oh, love
like,
it.
Like, people are, like, really into this. Like, Zach Cregger, who directed it and wrote it, I think before he was much more of a comedy guy. And as I say, this movie has jokes in it. This movie has... It's a popcorn fest of just sheer... This is a guaranteed nightmare. It's... midnight screening 10 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 10 years in the future, boom, at midnight on Halloween, we're showing Barbarian. And it's going to sell out. Like, horror fans are right into this.
It's just, it was... I think it has elements of a lot of, like, classics. Like, oh, no, it's just this movie. This is one of the movies that I will put in my 3 favorite movies.
Okay. So this is what I'm saying. As I said earlier on, I think audience are kind of sick of the metaphor-based horror. And there are still metaphors and there's still meaning to these movies. But I think they're wanting a bit more like, don't just intellectualize it. Actually go wild with it. Have a bit of fun.
Yeah, this happened, this is what you get. Simple as that. Yeah. What you so see is what you get.
About
yeah.
Red flags. How, again, trusting your gut. And much more, Speak No Evil is much more of a like... Huh, stroking your chin. It's good, but it makes you feel gross. But it's much more of like a, consider this, consider that. Whereas Barbarian is much more of like, there are monsters in the world, so let's make them monsters. Like, let's, mm-hmm. like, let's not sugarcoat it into like, it's just like, oh, it's the person next door who you never suspected. No, obviously it's this person. They're fucking demented.
Yeah.
It's wild. It gives my best, I for me, as I said in the episode when we talked about it, I said it reminded me a lot of Malignant as just the best like sort of 180 degree switch where you're like, mm-hmm. I know what this movie is. Holy fuck, what was that? And bang, we're somewhere else completely.
I know. Also has like one scene that I almost like like just vomit here. Like I had to leave the room. Thank God I didn't go to the cinema. Because Calum, you will be so embarrassed.
Yeah, you'd be making noises.
I was here and I ran to the bathroom and then I could see the scene was still on. I was like, oh my God. It was horrible. So I'm sad that I didn't go to the cinema to see the people reaction.
Great reaction. It wasn't full, sadly. It was.
I know, everybody tells me, but also seeing this movie in the cinema will be like, wow. Like, the chalk and like, wow, but this scene, look, thank God.
Okay.
Amazing.
It also contains my favorite supporting performance of the year, which is Justin Long.
Yeah.
He is such a delightfully evil person. But again, he's in a movie of madness. Undoubtedly, an absolute movie of madness. But he is, and he's a caricature, yes, but he is much more the sort of the guy who's evil, but you'd never suspect he was that bad a guy.
It's kind of like saying, like, kind of like white collar crimes.
Right? You'd never know it was him.
Like dodgy people.
And it fits him into this story. And it is, in my mind, just delightful. Like, I'm cackling with laughter at the cinema at some of the stuff he's coming out with, some of his actions towards the end. You're just like, that is. I get the point you're making,
but you're making it
in such a fun way.
Yes, I know.
The delight. And it's got eye gouging, it's got, I don't know if it quite has vomit, but it's just such a gore fest.
Oh, I know, and it's
a midnight movie destined for the future.
And I love it because that was a surprise. It was not on the trailer, or I don't remember the trailer having him.
And it came out of nowhere. Like, this wasn't like anyone like, next year we're waiting for this movie, this movie, and this movie. Nobody had Barbarian at the start of the year.
Once we have that big reveal or twist or whatever you want to call it, I was like, is this another movie playing?
It's a completely different movie.
It starts all over again and it's different characters. Like, how these are related? Like, how are we going to do this connection? So it's a perfect film. I love it.
Of course. It's actually my number. So these top two are not just my top two horror films of the year. They're my top two films. So Barbarian is my second favorite film of the year. Number one, which we're going to get to, it's my number one movie of the year. I think Gisele's already spoiled what it is because she's literally said the title of the movie. So the movie you must have recommended to people is, of course...
Nope.
What if I told you that today you'll leave here different?
Pops! Pops!
I'm talking to you.
What'd you see?
Something above the clouds.
That's big.
How big?
Big.
You think whatever killed Pops is out there?
Right here, you are gonna witness an absolute spectacle.
So what happens next?
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Yes.
Okay, can I ask who you recommended it to? Because I didn't know you did this.
Oh, well, I recommend to everybody, to my friends. I just like go to the cinema, watch this movie. It's amazing. It's horror, but don't worry, you're not gonna... It's more like...
It's sci-fi horror.
Yes, sci-fi horror.
Sci-fi western horror.
And I was like, you are gonna have... A ride.
A blast.
You are going for a ride there. And again, I love aliens and stuff like that. And I just love the different, like, way to interpret, like, what about if what we've seen actually is not like a spaceship, is actually like an animal. I'm like, what? Oh, it's amazing. The performance, like, everything. The background story, the side stories. You still are like, what's happening in that whole story? Like, how is it related? It's so good. It's like 2 hours and a half? 3 hours?
I don't think it's quite that long. Let me just get it for you.
But it's amazing. You don't feel it. You enjoy every single part. I love that side character that helps them to install cameras. Oh, it's such a great movie. I recommend to everybody.
Well, apparently, I've not got internet right now, so I can't tell you how long it is.
Anyway, like this movie, I remember coming out from the cinema, took a picture of the poster, and just put it like, go and see it. Like, it was so good.
130 minutes, 2 hours 10.
That's well, whatever it is, yeah. I just don't feel it.
So, yes. Now, this, what I said about Barbarian, about it was in nobody's list at the start of the year, of like, what films am I excited for this year? I feel like Nope is the exact opposite of that. Because mm-hmm. the trailer had come out, you know, a few months before, certainly quite well, and the title had been revealed, I think the poster had been revealed. We were aware that Jordan Peele had a new film coming out in the summer of 2022. Like, that wasn't a surprise to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think going into this year, I don't know about you, I feel like both of us, but certainly from my point of view, I was pretty buzzing about that. I love Jordan Peele's career so far. I'm excited he's back with a third feature film. Like, I'm very excited for the Nope.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting watching it in the cinema, and I don't really remember exactly when I began to think, is this his best film? But I remember when I decided, when I was like, boom, that's it. It is when Daniel Kaluuya's character, OJ, fantastic name for a character, because Jordan Peele is just playing with everything you could think about,
yeah.
race, and media, and how we as an audience react to certain things, and just everything
yeah.
has fucking nailed down into entertainment, and at the same time, somehow made a Spielbergian blockbuster better than basically anyone since Spielberg. Like, J.J. Abrams has made a career out of trying to be Spielberg. That's exactly what Super 8 was. I quite like Super 8. Nobody's done it better than Peele. Like, Nope is so good. It is when Daniel Kaluuya's character OJ is riding away from the alien, and the score by Michael Abels, who did the score for Us. I don't know if he did Get Out, but he definitely did Us, which is much more of like a hip-hop score. Hits with this sort of Western-tinged thing, and I cannot remember the name of the song right now, but I got it into your Spotify...
yes, rap of the year, of the year. So, whatever.
Like this one song, and it's like da 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 da, and I was just sitting watching, and it's so loud, and I was just like, "This is Peele's best movie. This, like, it's not Get Out, it's not Us, it's not up for debate. It's this. This moment right here is just what cinema blockbuster. Forget horror cinema, blockbuster cinema. There is one, there's two movies everybody this year is talking about doing blockbuster cinema, Top Gun Maverick and Avatar Way of Water. Love them both. They're both great. Had an excellent time watching both of them. You need to get a third film in there. Nope, by Jordan Peele. The cinematography Amazing. By Hoyt Van Hoytema. The film looks huge. The performance is huge. The score, huge. The ideas in its mind, huge. It is made for the big screen. If you waited to see this at home, and you watched it, well done. Round of applause, thanks for watching. But you missed out. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This movie was made for the cinema.
Big screen, yeah.
It's Peele's best movie, by far. By far. And I love both of his previous movies. And we've had discussions of what's better, Get Out or Us, and blah, blah, blah. And I would say, like, I prefer Us, but, like, I Get Out's a tighter movie, and Us is the one where I think Peele has
it's just too big, Callum. That's why you are going to say it's just too big, too much, too everything.
It's not too.
No,
too
but big. It's good.
Perfectly
it is
big.
Good.
It's perfectly
But if you compare
everything.
It to Get Out, that I think is still my favorite.
Okay.
By not much.
Yeah.
But still, and I'm not saying I don't like Nope. I love Nope. This is my top, like my three top films, it yeah. will be there.
So wait, you said Nope, Barbarian,
and
The
Menu.
Okay.
Those are my three. So, yeah, it's just bigger, like brighter, and it's just massive. This movie is massive. It's a
yeah.
blockbuster movie. It's great. Yeah.
But that's it's
that will be if I could
like
rank
I
number
think,
one.
And I think we covered this in the did we do a podcast episode or not? I think we did. Yes, it was our most listened to episode of the year. So thanks if you listened.
Oh,
to that
Oh, there you
one.
Go, number one.
Yeah. Get Out for me, as I said, I think. It's a great movie. Like, I'm not going to deny it's a bad movie. I love it. I've seen it so many times. I've got it on physical media. I've got Us as well. I love Get Out. I think Get Out, Jordan Peele very easily could have stayed in that lane of little small tight, it's not that small, but small enough, little tight horror thrillers about maybe about race relations or political subjects. And he kind of does the same with Us, but with a bigger budget. And so I'm like, with Us, I'm like, okay, like, he's in the same lane, but he's expanded his horizons. With Nope, he has, I think, boldly just jumped, not jumped ship, but like, he's went, you think I'm this guy. I can be Spielberg. I can do that stuff. And you're like, I don't know, can you? Like, we know what you're good at, Jordan. Like, Spielberg's a whole other ballgame. That's the biggest director of all time. Like, what the fuck? And he nails it. Nope. 5 stars, 10 out of 10. Easily, in my opinion, the best movie of the year, not just horror film.
Yay.
Probably my favourite horror film of this decade so far. Last year was Malignant, so it's competing with Malignant. I love Malignant. But Nope, a whole other ballgame. That's my top 10. Just to quickly run down them again, very, very quickly, just in case anyone wants to go and watch them. It's 10, Soft and Quiet. 9, Scream, the new one, obviously. 8, The Menu. Speak No Evil at 7. Number 6, Nightmare Alley, 2022, released for the UK. Number 5, X. Number 4, Bones and All. Number 3, Resurrection. Number 2, Barbarian. Number 1, Nope. 2 of those movies Gisela hasn't seen, and 3 of them would be in her top 3 of the year if she had decided to make it. So I think, overall, a pretty fucking good list from me. Well done, Callum.
Well done, Callum.
Now, next year, we're going to do stuff slightly different. We've discussed this already.
Mm-hmm.
Do you even remember?
Yes.
What is it?
Yeah, but you tell us.
Okay, thanks. We are going to do 2 episodes a month, similar to what we did this year, but we're only going to do 1 new release every month. So, for example, in January, spoilers, it's going to be Megan. Of course it's going to be Megan.
Of course it's going to be Megan.
February is a bit more difficult. Is it Knock at the Cabin? Cabin Door? Knock at the Cabin Door? Or is it Cocaine Bear?
No. No, it's not Cocaine Bear.
It is Cocaine Bear.
Oh, God.
Well, I don't know. We haven't decided yet. But, like, that's what I mean. But anyway, we're going to do 1 new release. That's all. We can maybe talk about other films at the time, but 1 new release. And because we're for Horror Movie Virgins, we're going to go back to what we did when we started this podcast, when we went through franchises and whatever, and we're going to finally tackle some things that we are horror movie virgins on. So we're going to get 1 new release every month and 1 classic every month. And we are starting with, obviously, the Universal Monsters. Dracula, the Wolfman, the Invisible Man, the Creature from the Black Lagoon, Frankenstein. Obviously, how many of those have I seen? 1. How many of those have Cizella seen?
1.
1. And it's the same one. It's the Invisible Man. So, I got a box set of those films. We're going to tackle them 1 a month and then 1 new release every month. So, please join us in 2023. Thank you for listening to 2022. We're not the biggest podcast in the world. We know that. But thanks anyway.
Yeah.
We enjoy doing it. That's my list. Maybe next year Gisela might be able to give a top 10 list. I highly doubt it.
Because, yeah, same.
As she already pointed out, struggles to even compare. How can you... Wait a minute. Can I just ask though? But you said you would have the 3 that I mentioned. 3. Barbarian. Why those 3 though?
Because like, I really why... like them. Like I just... Those ones I remember coming out like... like having a big... You know, like, wow, I wasn't expecting anything or like, what the fuck is going on here?
So would Orphan First Kill be in your 4 or 5?
Oh, see, you're adding more now. That's I can do big, 3.
You could do 3.
Yeah.
So. Okay, well, anyway, thank you for listening.
Feliz Año Nuevo.
Gracias por escuchar. She threw me off there. I don't really know my Spanish. It's just muscle memory.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Feliz Año Nuevo.
Feliz Navidad.
Gracias por... fucking, you've done it again. Gracias por escucharnos. That's the words I'm looking for.
Y hasta la próxima.